everyone, and welcome to the Nintendo Fever podcast. This is a very special episode, number 20, so yay for us. I'm your host, Holly Feldman. I'm joined tonight by Matt Desend.
It's time to get crazy.
Absolutely, and Bradley Cragen.
Hey, what's going on?
Episode 20, that's what's going on.
Yew!
So as you guys can see, we're pretty excited for this episode, and we're just going to kind of get right into it. First things first, we're going to announce the winners of our Mighty Switch Force giveaway that we had last week. So for those of you who, you know, contacted us in any way on Twitter or email or whatever, you were kind of entered into this giveaway for Mighty Switch Force on the 3DS. We got two winners, and the winners are, we've already decided them, Cody Hurst, so congratulations, Cody, and Talia Kyles.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
not Selena Kyle.
I don't know who that is, man.
You don't know
Catwoman?
Oh my goodness.
Apparently not. Wait, is that like her secret identity?
Yeah, that's
Selena
her.
Kyle.
That's her real name, Selena Kyle.
Selena Kyle. Wow, okay. So, Talia, you're pretty lucky to have a name like that. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, you're also pretty lucky to win this game, so I hope you enjoy it. We'll send you the codes probably Monday morning, which is about when the podcast will be published as well, so look forward to those. Okay, let's talk about our recent swag today. Matt, do you want to get us started on recent swag?
I would love to get us started on recent swag. I have a nice little thrift shop down in my local town. I have a couple of them, and I like to go to them at least once or twice every other week or so, just to kind of see what new things they might have. And this week, I was able to pick up two original Game Boy games and one Game Boy Advance game. I'm going to start with the Game Boy Advance game because it's obscure, it's not very good, but it was cheap, so I bought it. It's called Zapper One Wicked Cricket.
What?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a game where you play as a cricket, and you're trying to traverse these levels, and it's like a platformer, it's an over the view type view, it's not like walking, you're actually like hopping with every step, so like the controls are kind of wonky. I only put like 20 minutes into it. Graphically it looked okay for a Game Boy Advance game, nothing special, but yeah, it was $3, so I wanted to say I'll buy it for my library, and that was about it. The other two games that I got for the Game Boy, original Game Boy, are awesome finds, in my opinion at least. I got Tetris 2 for the Game Boy. This was the sequel to Tetris. Either one of you familiar with the sequel to Tetris?
I didn't know there was a sequel.
Well,
there is.
Obviously, there are like, you know, a lot of sequels.
Well, yeah.
I never knew there was a numbered sequel.
Yeah, this is a legitimate number sequel. I believe there was also a NES version of this and maybe a Super Nintendo version. Oh, I can't remember for sure. Anyway, so Tetris 2 is a lot less Tetris and it's a lot more 2.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Well, sort of. You mean, I'd expect them to try to change up the formula.
It does, but here's the problem with this, is they don't have, like, a regular Tetris mode included. It's weird. Like, there's this bizarre version of Tetris where you're connecting, like, these bombs that are exploding while you're playing Tetris. I barely put any time into it just because I just bought it, I played it, and I didn't really notice if there was, like, a regular Tetris mode, which I thought was weird. I know that it's a new game, but it seems to me that they would want to keep the original intact a little bit. I don't know, maybe not.
Well, they fixed that in one of the future sequels.
Very, very true. But yeah, so I got Tetris 2 for, I picked that up at the Youth Ranch, and then this one right here that I'm holding in my hand right now. I know you can't see it, but I am doing that.
I heard it.
Me too.
did you hear that?
It doesn't sound like a Game Boy cartridge.
It sounds a lot more like a DS case. No, I'm kidding. This right here is Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins.
Ooh, I had that one.
I bought this at the Youth Ranch behind a glass case, a loose cartridge, for $5.
Ooh,
and I felt like that was a pretty good find, personally. Very fun game. I already own this for the 3DS Virtual Console. It's a very, very unique Mario game.
Yeah.
The Super Mario Land games, they're kind of the portable entries in the Super Mario franchise. They're all quite a bit different than the normal platformers that we saw on the Super Nintendo or the NES or, you know, any of the other stuff. I like that it feels so different, right? Like, it is a different experience and it's a different game, I feel. And to be able to find this in a physical form like this, I mean, it would have been amazing if I could have got a box or a complete, you know, package, but just getting the cartridge by itself is still pretty awesome in my book.
Yeah, and it's the birth of Wario.
Yes, Wario is the, you know, spoilers, sorry, he is the main bad guy behind the 6 golden coins.
I never did beat that game.
It's worth it to go through. Did you get it for your 3DS Virtual Console?
No, I have it for the Game Boy.
Oh, do you? I mean, having the save points, you know, the quick save points are pretty awesome for the Virtual Console stuff. But I do want to do a run through of this because there is a save system, isn't there?
Yes. Yes, there is. I think.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure. I use save points on the Virtual Console, so I have no idea.
I just never got past Wario. He's like really hard.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give it another shot on the Game Boy cartridge.
Cool. Anything else?
That's it. Those are the 3 games that I was able to pick up this week.
Huh. Well, I think I have a bit of a bigger haul than you, which is surprising. But Bradley, go ahead and let us know what you got this week.
Well, not necessarily. Well, I did get stuff this week, but 2 weeks ago, everything I've got so far is Amiibo related. So
that makes you awesome.
Yes. Like 2 weeks ago, I didn't mention this in the last podcast, I won a Grey Ninja Amiibo on Twitter, so that's something new.
Yeah, it's cool too. Winning stuff is always fun.
I know, that was like my first time, pretty excited, so now I'm like retweeting all these giveaways. But the other stuff I got is 2 other Amiibos. I got this week, I got a Rosalina Amiibo.
Oh, nice.
And a Bowser Amiibo.
Now, did you get the Rosalina through a giveaway, or were you able to actually find it?
They Target restocked them, I got one online. So that was pretty neat.
Is it a weird looking second printing, or is it just like more of the first printing? Do you know if? Because I know when they reprinted the Villager Amiibo, they looked kind of funky.
Yeah, I think it's still the same.
Okay.
Yeah. That's weird. I'm checking to see right now if let's see, Rosalina Amiibo to see if they're still in stock, basically.
I don't know.
And it does not look like it.
Oh, man. Woo! So you jumped on that at the right time.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to mine. So is that it for you, Bradley?
Yep, just all Amiibo.
Cool. Well, we don't mind that at all. People love Amiibo. We love Amiibo. So, yeah. You're jumping on the bandwagon here. You weren't a big collector until now.
I'm still not.
You cannot just get one. You have to, I mean, when you look at like the ones that are coming out and stuff, like how can I turn down a Game & Watch? How can I turn down Duck Hunt? Like, oh boy.
I'm not going to get those, I don't think.
You're crazy. How can you not want to get Duck Hunt?
I want them.
If you had a good chance to get them, you know, for the right price, the retail price.
I might be tempted.
Which doesn't always happen.
But. I'm going to camp out in front of Walmart.
But I don't think I mentioned, did I say I got a Bowser Amiibo too?
Yeah.
Yes, you did say Bowser.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you get the Super Mario version, or did you get the
Smash Brothers?
The Smash.
I got the Super Mario one. Okay. I got it from Target as well because I had to get a second one because of free shipping.
So. Okay. That's a good reason.
Yes.
Oh, you really are jumping on the bandwagon.
And I wanted Bowser because he's a big amiibo, and that's kind of the reason I wanted it.
Yeah, more for your money.
Yeah.
Does he have a pretty good weight to him? I mean, does he seem like a, you know, thicker, not thicker plastic, but was there quite a bit more? Is it a lot heavier compared to like the Rosalina or the Greninja?
Yes, I believe so. It's kind of like King DDD.
I didn't get that one, though I did consider it.
Donkey Kong's really heavy too. I have a Donkey Kong and I almost feel like he's kind of unbalanced because he's so top heavy, but it's all right. He stands up pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm literally looking at all my boxes for all my Amiibo because I have them displayed on top of my my windowsill, and I'm just like, man, I have a problem.
You still have them in the boxes?
No, I took them out of the boxes, but I kept the boxes for display reasons because I think they look cool,
yeah.
And I just wanted to keep the boxes, you know, as nice as I possibly could. But just looking at them, like, I don't know.
How many do you have?
Let's see, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 10 Amiibo 10. As of right now.
I think I have going to have 7 now.
Oh, 7. I only have 6.
Oh, you got to catch up, Holly.
Don't worry, though. It's about to change.
Okay, let's
by
hear
by at least one.
All right, what's your swag?
Your haul.
Okay, I'm going to go with my boring ones first. I got through Leap Trade. Again, it's a pretty cool service. I got Pokemon White 2, a physical copy, a complete inbox manual and everything. Nice. So that's cool. I'm a Pokemon fan. I got Tomodachi Life, same situation, complete in the box and all that jazz. And I'm going to talk a little bit about more of that, or a little bit more about Tomodachi Life when we talk about what we've been playing, because, wow, what a weird game. But the last game that I got, again, through Leap Trade, is Uncharted 2 for the PlayStation 3. Yes, I do play stuff other than Nintendo. Surprise, surprise. And finally, last but not least, and, you know, I was going to leave this a surprise, but after what Bradley said about getting Rosalina, I figure I should just go out and say it. I ordered 2 Rosalina and Lumas on Target.
You got 2?
I did. I was thinking we could actually give one away, so because no, I don't know what else we'll do with it.
I think you're just going to send scalper. It to me.
A little bit. Scalping to kind of like boost the podcast numbers.
A giveaway is a little different than throwing it on eBay and trying to get like $60 for it, I feel.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, and I know it'll go to a good home. I've really been looking for an opportunity like this so that we could, you know, kind of include our overseas brethren in these giveaways. Yeah. And so hopefully, you know, everyone should definitely try to enter that giveaway. Maybe we'll make it like for episode 25. I've been calling it our Silver Weekiversary. That's coming up in a few weeks here. So, yeah, I guess y'all can look forward to that. Rosalina and Luma Amiibo.
Or it can be the 30th anniversary, like the 30th podcast for the 30th anniversary of Mario.
We should maybe try to do something Mario related. Listeners out there in the world, please, if there's something you can think of that might be kind of like a fun Mario, you know, Mario-centric giveaway that's not absolutely crazy, I would totally be down with figuring something out to do for the 30th episode because, you know, I'd like to celebrate the 30th anniversary. I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. And if you send in your ideas, you'll also kind of be entered in our current giveaway. We are giving away 2 copies of Zakisaw's Last Stand. It's a Wii U game. Of course, it's North America only because everything's all region locked and all that jazz. But definitely, yeah, send us your ideas for that. Send us anything Nintendo related at all, and we will enter you into that giveaway as well. But that pretty much covers recent swag and then some. So let's talk about what we've been playing. Anything interesting on your end, Matt, if anything at all?
So I played Roving Rogues for review for GameGravy.com, and my review already came out, and I gave it a score, and I beat the game, and while I was playing it, I realized a couple of things. This game's a lot of fun. It's a cool little platformer. It has a cool aesthetic to it. The teleport or phasing or whatever you want to call it, ability that you have, works well, but the controls have issues with it where you could be aiming up or diagonal, and if you don't hold diagonal or up long enough, like if you just let go just a brief second before the teleport, like all of a sudden the teleport doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or let's say you want to go left or right and you're holding it and you don't want to get that little bit of like where, you know, like if you're walking and you're moving forward and you teleport and you're moving forward. So you kind of like move it a little bit. Sometimes you might accidentally like make it move diagonal. And I don't know how much of this is the problem with the Wii U hardware and with the, or with the programming. Either or, it affected it and I did not like it. Didn't like the game, but I didn't like the controls for it. And the game never actually took advantage of the ideas of the idea of the game. The game is all about starting at the end and going towards the beginning, but it actually annoyed me quite a bit personally that so when I say the beginning, I'm referring to the end of the game because the beginning is the end. Everyone understand?
Yes.
Okay, so the beginning of the game is easy. The end of the game is hard. It makes no sense. Like, I understand, like, this is the gimmick of the game. I get that. But why would the very end of the game, which is quote-unquote the beginning, the very first level, is the hardest level in the entire game? Like, I get the gimmick. I understand the idea. But, like, you're failing at your idea when you do something like that, in my opinion. Like, there were new enemies introduced towards the end of the game, which was, once again, quote-unquote, the beginning of the game. Yeah. Why would those enemies not be also towards the end / beginning of the game? It just it didn't mesh well with me with the idea. The platforming was good, I thought. The levels were good for the most part. I thought there was plenty of interesting level design. Some of the levels I thought were too long. It was weird because it felt like when I first started playing the game, the levels were like these perfect bite-sized chunks that I could go back through if I wanted and collect everything and then go on my merry way, right? Uh-huh. As the game continued, the levels got kind of annoying long, I thought. I don't know. They seemed to overstay their welcome. And then if I forgot one of the amulets in one of the levels, I had no want to replay that level to get that amulet to try and collect all of them. Holly, I know you were playing this for review as well. Did you collect all the amulets by chance?
No, I'm kind of the same. In fact, I'm the same on just about everything that you have said. And I haven't published my review yet, but you can look forward to that. Obviously, Matt's review is already on Game Gravy. So as you know, when the podcast comes out, you can definitely go look that up on Game Gravy. And I think mine should be done soon-ish as well. So also check out my review on Nintendo Fever. And we'll see how me and Matt's opinions differed or were similar.
You know, me and you both reviewed, Solitaire Dungeon, and I know our review scores were quite a bit different on that one, so I'd be interested to see what our review scores are going to be on this one. I do like this game, and I think that, here's the thing, when you're playing for review, you're playing for a different reason. One, you're being critical of it. Two, you've been given something that you didn't actually pay for. And three, I personally like to beat the games that I'm reviewing. If I am completely capable of doing that, then I'm going to do it. So the very last stage, I sat there and played and died 107 times.
Did the game count for you, or did you count?
The game counts for you.
Oh.
When you beat a level,
Yeah,
it shows you how many times you died, and I died 107 times.
I don't even look at those stats, sadly.
I knew that I either killed a lot of enemies or died a whole bunch, or I just wanted to kind of see like a rough estimate of how I did in the stage. There was just some things that I didn't like about it, but there was a lot of things I did like about it. And I think for the $5 price tag, it's still worth getting.
I think it's $7.99.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was $5.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Looking it up right now.
Let's see.
I actually played a little bit of it.
Oh, are you playing it for review as well?
They sent me a copy. I didn't ask for it, but I played a little bit of it. I wasn't really feeling it. It doesn't really have that much personality to it, I guess.
Wow, it is $7.99. Well, that changes a lot of my opinions, actually. I think it does have a good sense of humor, though. I mean, like, before you start a stage and it gives you that little, you know, piece of scroll wood or whatever, and it tells you like a little funny joke, and then it has like their Twitter handle and a hashtag in it.
I like that part.
There's good humor. There's a good, you know, tight platforming engine within this. The bigger issue is it never actually takes advantage of the ideas that it's giving you. And that's the only issue I had with it. And then it's also, it's you know, I don't know how many stages it was for sure. I think it's like 40 levels.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in the same dungeon the whole time. So nothing ever changes look-wise. I mean, it looks generic at the end of the day. It looks like you're going from one stage to another stage, and all they're doing is swapping out the color.
Yeah, a little bit. There are ice levels, but you don't even really slip on the ice in those levels. No. So again, just a little bit of... you know,
there's no power-ups. There's nothing to like kind of change the like gameplay of it at all. Like, I don't know, there's for $7.99, I would say wait for a sale is all I can say now. I thought it was like $5, and I was like, oh, that's not too bad. But yeah, $7.99 changes a little bit of my opinion of it.
I'm gonna
avoid looking at your review until I'm completely done with mine, and then we'll see how things stack up.
The other, I have two quick things that I've also played a little bit of that I want to just kind of toss out there. Tiny Galaxy is going to be coming out July 16th. When you hear this, it's going to be coming up that following Thursday. I did the music for it, the entire soundtrack, 11-song soundtrack for it that you're going to be able to buy on Google Play Store as well by searching for the name Only Matt on the Google Play Store.
Plug.
I was able to, yes, I will pimp that all that I possibly can. So I played a little bit of that on my Wii U. I played it on the PC because he also had a PC version of it. But it's super cool to be able to like play this game that I made the soundtrack for and like see it on my giant projector and just be like this is something that I had a decent hand in helping create. Especially, you know, the music is all mine and it's just really cool. So I played a little bit of that and I highly suggest everyone check it out on July 16th. I think it's a good game. I'm a little biased. I don't mind admitting that. The other thing that I played is another one called Don't Crash. I don't know if either one of you heard of this. It's from RC Maniacs.
Yeah, I know Michael.
Yeah, so he creates these very budget title, simplistic games that aren't too exciting, but they're just like fun to play. I did the music for that song as well, or for that game as well. So he sent me a code, and I was able to play it for a little while. It's nothing special, but it's nothing terrible. It's like $1.50, I think, on the Wii U eShop. It's a game where there's two cars going around a track in opposite directions, and you're playing as one of the cars, and you're trying to avoid the other car. The longer you go, the more points you get. So it's just a simple arcade high score type game that you post things on Miiverse about. It's fun, and I made the music for that game as well. So I'm pimping away all I can. But yeah, that's about all that I've been playing.
Cool. Bradley, right. Anything interesting?
I'm still playing Etrian Odyssey 2 Untold.
That's and you probably still haven't beaten it, right?
No, I'm almost there, I think.
I've
played. I played like 40 hours so far.
That's so pretty long. I mean, I play RPGs that take like 100 hours to beat, but...
Yeah.
You guys are both crazy.
That's about all I've played.
Still, anything new that you're allowed to talk about at this point, or is it still kind of like... You're supposed to remain hush-hush.
I think it's still under embargo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we know it might take more than 40 hours to beat, so.
Yes.
Exclusive info.
That's only on one mode, though, so.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Dang, I can't wait to hear more about that one, and I may just get it, you know?
$50.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about this next week, but have you been playing any Metroid Prime?
I played, like... 30 minutes so far.
Oh, you guys gotta get on the...
I got past the beginning part, like the ship that's blowing up or something like that.
Yeah, you have to escape the pirate frigate.
Yeah, that's how it ended.
Cool.
Me blowing away, so going somewhere.
You still have a ways to go, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay, for what I've been playing, in addition to Metroid Prime, I've been getting plenty of that in there, but Tomodachi Life is kind of a game that I have been playing and enjoying since I got it earlier this week. It is so weird and quirky, but it makes me laugh and smile every single time I play it. You guys just, you don't even know. Even that little, like, mini direct that Nintendo put out on Tomodachi Life that was, what, like 10 minutes or something?
Uh-huh.
Just showing off this weird, quirky game. All hail the Virtual Boy. Just saying. Anyway, it gets even crazier than what you would expect. It's pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah. I watch people play on YouTube.
You know what? My sister's been watching me play it. It's a game that's pretty easy to watch because there's not a whole lot of actual playing involved. Mm-hmm. So, but like I say, super, super funny. And I have been breaking hearts. My me lookalike in the game has been breaking hearts left and right. So I'll tell you that about it. I don't have either of you guys in there, sadly. I don't have any way to get Bradley's me character in my system, darn it. Send me like an AR code or something, Bradley, and I'll put you in my little island.
All right.
And then probably break your heart. I have access to Matt's, though. I could import Matt's me into my Wii U. And I know you're married, Matt, so if I were to do that, I'd probably want to put your wife in there as well.
Yes.
Which I don't know if that's...
I'll have to make her probable. a quick one or something.
Who do you have in town?
Currently I have, as for people who you may or may not know, or at least there's a chance that you'll know him, Mike McSurdy. He writes for Nintendo Fever. I have him in there. I also have one of our big fans, Mike Fulham, in my town. So I think he's pretty new, though, so nothing too exciting has happened to his character. I put my brother, put my sister, put my niece. No way, I haven't done that yet. I just have a couple of, you know, real life friends, real life. I'm putting that in air quotes, who I have put in there. Nothing, you know.
No celebrities or fictional characters?
Not yet. I'll think about that.
Darth Vader?
No Darth Vader.
If you go on to just Google and type in things like me AR codes or whatever, like the things you can find are awesome.
Yeah. Some Chuck Norris in there.
Oh, yeah. You need a Chuck Norris.
Okay. I'll put Chuck Norris in there, and I'll let you know what happens with that. Maybe next week. We'll see. If we don't talk too much about Metroid Prime, because that's kind of our halfway point, Metroid Prime.
I only played a little bit of Tamagotchi Light. I got one of the, what's it called, the special
early
demo.
Early access demo codes.
Yeah, I got one of those, and I played it for a while, and it seemed like a one-note version of Animal Crossing. I know there's more to it if you kind of play with it like you'd play with a toy, right? Like, that's kind of the way I've kind of heard it referred to as before, and it's just not something that I feel like I would ever... I feel like my daughter would have a really good time with this game.
Oh, she would.
See, and that's what I kind of feel... That's the kind of vibe that I get from it is me as a married adult with kids will have a little bit more of a difficult time enjoying it, where, like, maybe my actual kid would enjoy it more. I don't know. I'm looking at AR codes, by the way, and you can put the Joker or Snoopy or Spock or Jack Black. There's some really good Miis out there.
Maybe it's a girl thing, but I just kind of enjoy having, you know, people that I know at least somewhat in my town. Mm-hmm. But I will put Chuck Norris just because you guys said that Chuck Norris must be in there. I'll try
yes,
that out.
Yes, I think so.
All right. Oh, yeah.
We'll see what kind of shenanigans happen. All right, so now that we're done talking about what we've been playing today, we have a very special feature, partly in celebration of... some of Matt's music getting out there in these games that are coming out now. We'll be talking about our favorite Nintendo music today. So I kind of have just split this into different categories, talking about like individual songs that we like in games, composers that we like in general, and whole like entire soundtracks, entire game soundtracks that we like.
And I'll tell you what, Holly, as the listeners heard, the very first song that was played when they started up the podcast was a song that was off of the Tiny Galaxy soundtrack. Let's go ahead and throw in appreciation for the other game I'll give you another song to be played right here. And then when the podcast is over, they'll also be able to hear another song from the Tiny Galaxy soundtrack as well.
Sure. So we will be taking a break, letting you listen to some good tunes while we actually probably just keep talking. music start.
The power of radio.
Podcasts. They go through that, you know, thing called editing. Takes kind of a long time, but... okay, so let's just kind of start throwing out some individual game songs that we like. One of my all-time favorite songs comes from Donkey Kong Country 2. It is Sticker Brush Symphony. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that one, because it is a very famous video game song, and it is so good. It is easily in my top three favorite video game songs ever, which is saying something. So
I need to hear that. Which one is it?
It plays in the Bramble stages for the most part.
Okay. I never had Donkey Kong Country 2, so.
Oh, I never tragedy. Had Donkey Kong Country 2 or 3 as well. Like only
I only
when
had
I ever
the first
played...
one.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, go look that song up, definitely. Sticker Brush Symphony. If you just type that in on YouTube, you can find it easily enough.
I've heard of it, though.
Or Bramble Blast, I think, is also what it's sometimes called. So, yeah. There's definitely a remixed version that I believe debuted in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. I don't like that one as much as the original, but it's still good. It's just that the original will never be beat. Never.
Mm-hmm.
So any other individual songs that pop out to us?
Me, I had to pick the Clock Town theme from Majora's Mask.
That's a good one.
I just love that song.
Okay. Most Zelda games always have very unique music and just very like fantasy driven and just a lot of cool, you know, sounds and effects. But like the Majora's Mask music, man, like I haven't even ever played the game, but I've heard music from the game before.
Stone Temple is awesome too.
I've heard a lot of the songs. They're awesome, man. They're cool.
And the Deku Palace. That's another great one.
I love, Smooth McGroove, a YouTuber, actually did this one. The Giants theme, I believe, is what it's called for Majora's Mask.
It's a Stone Temple, I think.
It's just a really slow,
yeah,
dramatic song.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so Majora's Mask, great soundtrack. I haven't even beaten the game or played it, like, in a significant way, but I do have the soundtrack, like an official physical copy of the soundtrack that I got from Club Nintendo, so I'm very pleased about that.
Nice. Let's see, what's another great song? Song of Storms, another Zelda song.
Yeah. Also, from Ocarina of Time, Gerudo Valley.
Ooh, yes. That's a great one.
And the remix for that song that came out in the most recent Super Smash Bros. Games, awesome, awesome remix. Go look that one up, too.
I want to throw out a song as well. Now, this is going to be kind of an obscure title and song, but like when people ask me, like, hey, where do you get some of like the inspiration to make the music that I make? This song is one of the inspirations that I have because I think it is just an amazing chiptune song that will literally, and I mean this, so make sure you're sitting down, blow your socks off.
Okay.
So be sitting down when you're listening to this. It's the RoboCop title theme song from the Game Boy version.
Really?
It is so good. It's hard to explain just how good. The music on the RoboCop for Game Boy is an amazing soundtrack as well, but the theme song is pretty darn amazing. So I want to throw that one out there for the world to hear.
That is definitely obscure.
It is, but it is so worth it. So, so very worth it.
Let's see. I like... How about some Mario? I like... there's one from Super Mario Galaxy. Is it Good Egg Galaxy or something like that?
Good Egg Galaxy is a very good one, yes.
Yeah.
That would fit under complete soundtracks for me. Yeah. The Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Club Nintendo in Japan got, like, physical CDs for it, I believe. And I would do anything to get a physical CD of the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack. That'd be so good.
I do have a physical CD, but it's kind of abridged. It doesn't have all... It's not the complete collection.
Oh,
but it's got... I'm looking at it right now. 28 tracks on this physical Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So what... Here's a question for us all. What kinds of physical soundtracks do we all own? I mean, I try to collect physical CDs from Nintendo games whenever possible. Like... That is a thing that I must do because it's so hard to get a hold of these types of things, but I love them so much. So anything awesome for you guys that you have?
I have a couple. I have the Super Smash Bros. One that...
For getting both versions of the
game?
From
Club Nintendo and also Skyward Sword, the one that came with Skyward Sword, the 25th anniversary, I think it was, CD that came with the game.
Yeah.
I have that one too.
Cool. Is that it for you? You don't have, like, the Ocarina of Time soundtrack?
No.
Majora's Mask?
Nope.
The Majora's Mask one is two discs. It's pretty awesome.
It's got some great music.
Yep.
No, the only one that I have on CD is the Smash Brothers, the one for owning both games for the 3DS and Wii U. That's the only actual physical soundtrack that I have.
Oh, talking about physical swag, you guys, soundtracks. I've got Majora's Mask from Club Nintendo. I believe it was a platinum reward 1 year. Got Ocarina of Time for registering Ocarina of Time 3D on Club Nintendo quickly enough. I also have the Super Smash Bros. One, of course. The Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack that I have, it came with the Wii. Like, there was a black Wii that you could buy, like, way into the Wii's life cycle, basically. And it came with New Super Mario Bros. Wii and a Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack. Totally random, but when I went to buy my own Wii console, because I had only had a family one up until then, I specifically saw this one and thought, it has a soundtrack in it. I need it.
That's a pretty awesome deal. I wished I would have. I never even heard about that bundle ever.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I was pretty happy about that. I also have kind of an abridged, like just a tiny, almost like a sample soundtrack for The Last Story, which was a Wii game. I pre-ordered it on Amazon, and I believe it was a pre-order bonus. You got a little soundtrack CD plus an art book with the game. So those are all of my physical soundtrack CDs from Nintendo. It's like I say, you know, I look for these opportunities. I love collecting music. So,
speaking of The Last Story, there is one song from Xenoblade Chronicles 3D that I like. It's the Gower Plains. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Ah, Gower, that works for me.
Yeah, that's how I'm pronouncing it. That's a great song too.
Yeah, awesome pick. From another game that has an overall awesome soundtrack anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like the battle music in Xenoblade Chronicles.
Like which battle music? There's a few different ones.
Well, the ones that I've heard, I guess I should say. Like,
okay.
Within the first 6 hours of the game, the different times that there's been battles, like anytime that the intensity kind of goes up a notch and things need to get kind of serious, like I enjoy the change in tempo and style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That music is like jamming. You get into a battle and it's like, yes.
The Fireman off of Mega Man 2 is awesome. Most of the Mega Man games are just amazing. The Symphony of the Castlevania games for the DS all have very awesome music behind them as well.
Wily's Castle from Mega Man 2.
There you go. Ooh, yes.
Classic.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we're barely even scratching the surface on some of these types of things. I mean, there's just an outrageous amount of awesomeness that is music. And the weird thing is for me personally, if music or a soundtrack or a game has really good music, I can just sit there and enjoy it and not think twice about it. It's when a game's music isn't either enjoyable and or rememberable that it's just kind of like you don't think about it anymore. Like you can't. It's this weird sense where music is so important because it adds so much to the game, but without it, it almost feels like the game gets a little bit emptier.
Sonic Boom, Rise of Lyric.
So, composers. Any composers that are notable?
Definitely.
Matt Desmond?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I'm sure your Tiny Galaxy soundtrack is amazing, and I'm going to play that game even if I don't get a review copy. Which I've kind of asked for one, but...
got to be careful with that conflict of interest. I mean, what if you say something bad about the music to me?
Oh, snaps.
I'll tell you my honest opinion. And you know what? I love the outro and intro themes to the podcast, so I find it hard to believe that I might not like the Tiny Galaxy soundtrack, so... But as far as composers go, David Wise. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Donkey Kong?
Yep.
Nice. What's the Banjo-Kazooie guy's name?
Grant Kirkhope.
Yes, he's awesome too.
Yeah, he is. And they're both going to be on board for Yooka-Laylee. Mm-hmm. So, and the game's going to have orchestrated music. Oh my gosh. Can't wait for that.
Woo!
Obviously, Tanaka, or Taneka? I don't know how you pronounce the name, but the composer behind the Mario series. Hizakozu Tanaka, is that even close? I don't know.
What about Koji Kondo?
Koji Kondo is great too, but Tanaka, the thing about his music is he always hides his theme.
Yeah.
In the games that he composes or works on, and it's always, I don't know, it's just really interesting, like a
fun little Easter egg.
Exactly. Yeah, he just has some really cool Easter eggs and stuff like that, and I don't know, he's a composer that I like a lot.
That's one that I've never even heard of. So
another great one is an indie. More of an indie, I guess. Jake Kaufman.
Oh my gosh, love him.
Yeah.
I guess music anyway. I don't really know him personally.
Yeah, he did it for like Mighty Switch Force, DuckTales Remastered, what's some other games?
Shovel Knight. Love Shovel that Knight, soundtrack. Yes. That's, you Shovel know what? Knight. That fits under composers and soundtracks for me. Jake Kaufman for composers, and then as far as overall soundtracks go, Shovel Knight has an amazing soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. I also have to give some props to Troop Gamage. You might not know who he is. He did the soundtrack for Mutant Muds.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. That's some good stuff.
He definitely needs more props for that.
Yes.
I thought of an individual song, and then it just kind of left my mind.
There's too many.
There's a singer-songwriter. His name is Jim Guffrey. he did the soundtrack, or yeah, the score, and he composed the entire music behind a game called Sword and Sorcery. It's a really cool game that was originally on like iOS and Android, and I don't know if it's really gone anywhere else besides those places, but the soundtrack for Sword and Sorcery is phenomenal. It's so, so cool. And Jim Guthrie is definitely an awesome composer.
I'm definitely going to look that one up when I can. So let's move on to games now. Chrono Trigger pops into my mind when you think about like games that just have an overall outstanding soundtrack. Chrono Trigger, one of the all-time greats. Wind
Never
Scene
played
specifically.
It.
Never played Chrono Trigger?
Nope.
Oh, I played it for like 10 hours. That's my whole experience with that game.
You know what? The DS cart is actually not that bad to find, so if capable, keep your eye out for that because it is so worth playing.
Is it better than the original?
Yeah, it is actually. They add a lot of really good tweaks, and even being able to like use the touchscreen is one of those like very like user interface like things that help the game kind of flow just a little bit better.
Yeah, user friendly, makes it more accessible.
But yeah, I don't even think the DS cart like by itself is like an outrageous amount of money or anything like that. It's
Yeah, I think I looked it up on Amazon. It wasn't that expensive.
It's $20, actually.
Yeah,
so.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Kid Icarus Uprising. I love that soundtrack. Anybody else like that one?
That's orchestral, I think, right?
I don't know if it's orchestrated, but it's orchestral.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a difference there. I just made up the difference, but...
It sounds like an orchestra.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yep.
Kirby is one that I personally love. The NES version of Kirby is it's my childhood rolled up into a ball and then, you know, sucks up people and kills them. I don't know. It's awesome.
It's just so happy and fun.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Yeah. Kirby does really strike a cool... It hits this chord like in your gut or your heart or somewhere, wherever you have your feelings come from. The Kirby music, it just hits one of those notes in there. Yeah.
You got to smile.
Yeah,
you can't be
it
sad.
Touches your childlike self. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
And yeah, Shovel Knight, that's another great one.
Mm-hmm. Child of Light has a pretty good soundtrack. I like that one.
That's orchestral, I believe.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't have a whole lot of variety, but the, you know, just kind of soft, subtle tunes in that
somber.
Game are pretty good. Mm-hmm.
What's another game?
Any Zelda game.
Yes.
Yeah, Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo has an awesome overall, like... So, a lot of Nintendo games, I think, are special in the sense that music is so much more part of the experience than I feel with some other games. I feel like just the same way you go from, you know, your start screen to your level select to your game world, and then you go back to the level select, like, Nintendo games ingrain themselves all around all of it. It feels like one complete experience. Same thing with like Kirby, you know, like when you go to select a level, you're in like this kind of quote unquote, you know, open area where you go and you select what stage you want to go to. But between the time of like selecting your stage and getting into your stage, the music that accompanies that doesn't only feel like its own overall theme, but it feels like a transitional theme to go into whatever level you're about to experience as well. And I think a lot of Nintendo games, including Yoshi for the Super Nintendo, you know, Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo, they really hit this certain kind of special stride that really felt special. You know, I don't know how else to say it.
Ba 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 da ba 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 da ba 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 ba.
Exactly. I mean,
the sound of your childhood.
Oh yeah,
so good.
So here's kind of an interesting to me. Okay, Zelda music is all amazing. Just about. And the Zelda theme, it's so widely known and so great and epic, but my favorite version of the Zelda theme, the main theme, is actually the overworld in Link's Awakening, which really changes up the tune, but in the most awesome way. So definitely look that one up as well. That's the individual song that I had been thinking of before, and then I forgot it, but yeah.
You know, kind of as an off comment that I'm just going to make, especially... And it's going to sound a little bit weird, especially because I actually am becoming a composer myself to a small extent with making the soundtrack for Tiny Galaxy and doing the two games that I've done for RC Maddox. I've actually never been huge into video games music. it wasn't until later, as I got older, that I really started to get really a lot more accustomed and listening more. And then also not only listening, but like really kind of taking it in and experiencing the music as well. You know, video game music is kind of that weird intermedium spot where, like we said before, like it's very much a part of a full package, and good video game music just helps make a game really, really excel. And when I think of that, I really think of things like Metroid Prime. Now that I'm doing this playthrough and I'm kind of trying to experience the game as this, like, this giant whole experience, it's amazing how much that music really helps make you feel isolated, or it makes you feel powerful, or it makes you feel weak, or it makes you feel scared or worried, or, you know, it gives you that boost of confidence or whatever that music kind of is supposed to do. I feel like it does a good job of giving you that feeling or that emotion.
It's particularly important in video games because it's a medium that you are in control of. And so, just that fact alone means that it's more immersive than watching a movie or reading a book for the most part. And music, obviously, in just about any medium, is very important. And so it's just like doubly important in video games, I feel. And by the way, I'm listening to a little bit of the Sword and Sorcery. Is that the name of the game?
Yes.
Sword and Sorcery soundtrack. Ooh, there's some good organ in it. Oh, yeah. I love a good, like, great organ sound in a song. It's which you get a lot good in video games, but if done right, organ sounds great. So there you have it.
One more. I'm going to say Tropical Freeze. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. That one has a good soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
David Wise came back for that, I believe.
Yes, he did.
I could tell. I mean, there was something different, like the charm to the original Donkey Kong Countries was gone in Donkey Kong Country Returns,
yeah,
to me, mostly because of the music. So David Wise comes back and suddenly it's like, oh. And now I'm feeling the nostalgia. So I had one more question, but I totally forgot what it was. Totally.
Oh, Holly.
I know. And it was a good question, too. Something to do with video game music.
I believe you.
Oh, well, it's totally and utterly gone. Anything final that we want to mention, though?
Not that I can think of.
Not that I can think of. Other than I'm going to go ahead and push myself one more time and just say Tiny Galaxy comes out July 16th. That is this coming up Thursday. If you're listening to this the day it comes out on Monday, that's only 3 days away. The soundtrack is also available for purchase on the Google Play Store. All you have to do is search Tiny Galaxy and or Only Matt on the Google Play Store. The CD is going to, or the soundtrack is going to be $4.99. The game is going to be $5.99 when it comes out. For less than $10, you can have both the soundtrack and the, or I guess for $11, I guess, you can have both the soundtrack and a game for two things that were a labor of love, both by Taylor Hash or at Arcane Pixel on Twitter, and myself as well when it came to creating the soundtrack. I mean, we put a lot of love and a lot of effort into this, and we, you know, please let us know what you think of the experiences that you have with it. I'm also planning on doing some giveaways for both the game and the music when they come out, and I'm even going to do a small print run of a physical CD in jewel case of the soundtrack as well. More details on that coming very soon.
All right, and with that, and since I haven't thought of my question, we have basically reached the end of the podcast. Again, you can enter a giveaway. This week we're giving away two copies of Zacky Saw's Last Stand. Don't forget, you just have to send us an email, send us a tweet, whatever it takes. Our email is podcast@nintendofever.com. You can also tweet @NintendoFever if you'd like, or you can tweet us personally. I'm @HollyFelmuth.
I'm @OnlyMattDezen on Twitter. Hit me up. Let me know what is going on in your world, and I'll be more than happy to communicate, talk, and tweet back.
And I am at Bradley Cragen, and I pretty much respond to every single comment. So, yeah.
We're pretty fun people to have on Twitter, to talk to on Twitter. So please don't be shy. Let us know. Just about any interaction that we get, we're just automatically going to enter you into the giveaway. So just send us anything, really. Anything Nintendo-related. Try to keep it, you know, in that realm. And we will enter you into the Zacky Saw's Last Stand giveaway. Don't forget it's on Wii U, and it's for the U.S. only, or North America, I believe, in case anyone out there is from Canada or whatever. Again, this has been episode 20. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you later.
Bye.
See ya.